And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690K GGF Kyle High with you today. Hope you are having a fantastic day. Joining me in studio today is Senator Virgil Peck. And, sir, good morning. How are you doing today?
Oh, I am doing great, Kyle. A great morning, as you mentioned earlier, in SCK, Southeast Kansas. Bright sunshine, a lot of moisture on the grass, and a little bit of fog when I left my house over by Havana.
Yeah, it's starting to quickly burn off this morning, and we're going to have a beautiful day, 80 degrees for a high, so you cannot beat that. Well, sir, again, I appreciate you coming in today, and I know you have a drive to Chinook coming up here in just a bit. And talking about that, you're having a listening tour today and tomorrow.
Absolutely. I am excited about the opportunity to travel the legislative district. You're right. It's going to start in Chanute. Actually, it's kind of an interesting schedule that I've got here. I will start in Coffeyville, which is where I am right now with you, Kyle. And then at 2:15, I will be back to Coffeyville at the Senior Center. But yes, I'm headed from here to Chanute, the Memorial Auditorium, and then to Erie, and then Independence and Coffeyville today. And my whole focus here is not for me to do a lot of talking, but for me to do a lot of listening. There are so many things that the legislature has done. The governor's vetoes, we'll probably talk a little bit about some of those. But I want to know what the constituents are thinking, what is important to them as I spend time in the Kansas Senate, because next Monday, on the 3rd, we will be back for the veto or wrap-up session. And this year, it can properly be called a veto session. There's been years in the past, Kyle, when there weren't any vetoes, but they still call it the veto session. But there are several committees that will be meeting in Topeka next week. And I'm confident that the reason they're going to do that is some of these vetoes that the governor has put out, we probably can't override, but the committees will be looking at alternative or maybe some type of a compromise type of legislation. But then you're right, back to the listening tour tomorrow. I will start at 8:15 in the morning in Oswego, spend a lot of time in Labette County. I'll go from Oswego to Altamont at 9 o'clock, and then in Parsons at 10 o'clock. And my Facebook has the schedule. The newspapers have the schedule. The radio station on your website has the schedule. So if a person wonders. And then I will end up in Cherryvale at the Cherry Blossom Festival, which is a fun place to be. So anybody ought to go out to the Cherry Blossom Festival, not only to visit with me if they have thoughts or concerns, but there's a lot going on there. There's some singing. There's some booths and just a lot of things. But it's a great opportunity. Sounds like the weather will be great tomorrow. And so Cherry Blossom Festival will be the place to be. But I'm really looking forward to hearing what constituents have on their mind over the next couple of days before I head back to Topeka on Monday.
And like you said, that video session begins on Monday, and there are a lot of there's been a lot of legislation that Governor Laura Kelly has vetoed just the past couple of weeks. And let's go ahead and start with a few of those. One of those is we talked to Representative Prell last week. One of the things was the firearm safety in schools, basically. Where kids can learn firearm safety in school, that she actually vetoed that. And another one was also about the transgender in high school athletics.
Yes, when it comes to the firearms education courses, those were not to encourage students to carry firearms or like firearms. They were to educate young people to the fact that a firearm is not a toy. It is a tool that, if properly used, is extremely valuable, but it is not a toy. And particularly at the younger ages, Kyle, we wanted children, because we don't want any child to accidentally lose their life or be shot with a firearm. So we wanted children to understand, when you see a gun, when you see a weapon, it's not a toy. And it was pretty simple. Don't touch. Go tell an adult, is what we wanted to teach the younger people. And then as we got into older ages, we wanted them to have the opportunity to take a hunter safety course. In Kansas, before you can get your first license, your hunting license, you have to pass a hunter safety course. And this has been going on for years. I remember back in about 1972, I took the hunter safety course. And I can tell you some of the things I learned in that hunter safety course, even today. And 1972 was, oh, I don't know what, 10, 15 years ago at least. I guess it's nearly 50, isn't it?
Somewhere around there.
But anyway, so they could take a hunter safety course and understand some things. There's some survival skills. You know, it's not like survivalist, but some survival skills when you're out in the wild. And also, on that, along that topic, as it relates to some things at school, we had legislation, House Bill 2039, that the governor has also vetoed, that would require students to pass a civics test and a financial literacy test. Those were all in the same bill. The civics test, Kyle, the questions would be taken from the naturalization test that persons who want to become United States citizens must pass a naturalization test. Now, there's over 100 questions on that test, but they randomly, their examiner will randomly select, I think it's about 10 or 12 of those questions and ask them. And I have found it interesting, Kyle, since this legislation has been introduced and passed and then subsequently vetoed, I have asked a lot of Kansans, well, Americans, some questions that were on this, and some of us need to go back and take a civics course. For example, one of the questions is, what are some of the rights enumerated in the First Amendment to the Constitution? And one that I like to ask people, because very few people know, but they will after we spend a few moments here. How many amendments has there been to the United States Constitution? I have had people say, well, there's 10. Well, that was the initial Bill of Rights, but there have been multiple since that time. There are 27 amendments to the Constitution of the United States. The last one was the one that gave 18-year-olds voting rights. And that was about 50 years ago. But anyway, those are the types of questions that are on the civics test. The governor vetoed that. The financial literacy test, if I may say, I think we need to have a financial literacy test in Washington, D.C. right now. With what's going on with the spending that's there, it's like, do you guys not realize that when you pass legislation that spends $2 trillion or close to $2 trillion, somebody's got to pay the bill? And Kyle, this goes back to the Trump administration, and I know they keep blaming COVID and so forth, but we've got to make some changes. And financial literacy is something that's important for all of us to have a basic grasp of how to balance a checkbook, how to understand that debt, when you agree to a debt, a loan, you are agreeing to pay that back. And you've got to pay that back, or you will lose whatever you have put up as collateral. And Dave Ramsey, which I know Dave Ramsey's on KGGF, Dave Ramsey has said that 100% of the foreclosures in the United States are because someone had some debt. So if you don't have a loan on your house, they'll never be foreclosed. But yes, and then there are actually 8 vetoes of bills and then 26 line item vetoes in the budget bill. But you mentioned the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. I personally have a little difficulty in understanding why, and I have not found anyone in our area, I'm sure there is someone, that thinks that it's a good idea for boys who say they're girls, and people say, well, they've transitioned from a boy to a girl. Well, that's impossible. You cannot transition from one gender to another. But this legislation, Fairness in Women's Sports Act, would keep boys who want to say they're girls not only out of their sporting events, but Kyle, when they participate as an athlete in a female sporting event, then that means they also go into the female locker rooms. And in locker rooms after a game, there are showers. So it's just, to me, a common sense thing, but the governor vetoed that. That one will be one that there will be a pretty good battle over. I think the Senate can override her veto. But I'm not sure about the House, because they fell 3 votes short when they passed it originally. And by the way, a little bit of an educational thing for the listeners. A bill, if it is a Senate bill that's vetoed, the veto override attempt starts in the Senate. If it's a House bill that's vetoed, the override attempt starts in the House. There are only 2 of these 8 vetoed bills that are Senate bills. So that we'll have the opportunity to start, and then the House has the other six. I'm hoping that we veto or override the veto on several of these, but we will find out. And that's part of the thing that I'm going to be discussing with voters during the listening tour, to find out what their thoughts are. Do you think that we should override the vetoes or not? But that sort of covers a couple of them that you mentioned.
And it's kind of interesting about the civics one. They actually just they passed a bill exactly like that in Oklahoma, and it passed, and the governor signed off on it. So now in Oklahoma, you will have to take a civics test to actually graduate high school, which, again, I think a civics test is a pretty good idea because, like you said, I think everybody can use a refresher from time to time.
Well, they could, and it's one of those things that I know that there are some teachers who are doing a great job. They're mm-hmm. teaching this, and their students will pass with flying colors without much effort.
I think the majority of them would pass with flying colors.
I do too, but not, and of course, I'm thinking rural Kansas, but not all Kansans and not all Kansas schools are doing a good job of teaching about civics, which is about our government. And it gets into questions, how many members are there of the United States House of Representatives? How many senators are there? How many senators per state? What is the length of term for a president? And on and on and on about things. Some people say, well, those are politics. Those are civics. But, Kyle, it goes back to the old saying, elections have consequences. Oklahoma's got a different governor than Kansas does, and a different political philosophy. And, you know, voters will have an opportunity in 2022 to weigh in to whether they want to continue down the road or change course in Kansas, same way in Oklahoma. But yes, it's one of those things that if we have a better knowledge of our history as a country and how we operate as a country, it's better for all of us because we understand how things are working. There was also some legislation that House Bill 2058 that the governor vetoed. I understand a little bit of discomfort on this, but I disagree with it. And what that bill did, two things. One, the biggest thing that garnered attention was it allowed 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to conceal carry a weapon in Kansas. And the reason that's important is two things. One, if you're 18, 19, 20 years of age currently, you can open carry in Kansas because you're legal adult age. However, in Kansas currently, if it's cold and you put a jacket on, you conceal that weapon. Now you are illegal with that same weapon. Now, these 18, 19, 20-year-olds could not just conceal carry like the rest of us can because we have constitutional carry in Kansas to where if you legally own a weapon, you can conceal carry without a permit if you're 21 years of age or older. If you're 18, 19, 20 years of age, you had to qualify on the range. You had to pass a written exam. You had to take classroom training. You had to be background checked and fingerprinted. Basically, you had to be licensed to conceal carry in this legislation. And the reason this is important for adults, because some people are saying, well, maybe those young people don't need to carry. Well, what about the rest of us? Other states were starting to deny reciprocity agreements with Kansas for concealed carry permit holders because our standards did not line up with their standards. A lot of other states allow 18, 19, 20-year-olds to conceal carry. We did not, so they said, well, your standards are different from ours. We're not going to allow reciprocity, which meant someone who had concealed carry license in Kansas could not legally conceal carry in some other states, and I can't name those states. But that was vetoed. That is a House bill. We'll see what the House does with that. And there are some more vetoes we can talk about, or we can talk about budget item vetoes.
That was actually one thing I was wanting to discuss with you about is, of course, the education budget has not been finished yet. In fact, it got, I do believe, the final day, and it failed by one vote in the Senate. And the reason being is because policy was put into that instead of just being a budget. So it's going to go back to that. Just kind of your thoughts on that education bill.
That was an interesting day in the Kansas Senate because the Kansas House had passed the legislation, and that was Senate Bill 175. And you are right, it had to do with funding and some policy pieces, but the day in the Senate, it was a 20-20 vote, so that meant it failed. Every senator voted. 20 voted yes. I voted yes. 20 voted no. And so it's one of those things in the Kansas Senate, you have to get 21 for any legislation to pass. So we fell one vote short. And I tried to convince a couple people who were voting no that, hey, let's go ahead and pass this. Because I thought it was a reasonably good bill. Now, there's no perfect bill out there. I could pick apart any bill that we have ever voted on. I mean, I can find things about that bill that's like, if I could change this, I would. But I can't. It's either, once it gets to the floor of the Senate and has been amended, it's either an up or down vote. But that currently, right today, we have not passed a budget, as you indicated, for education finance for next school year. And that's about a $6 billion budget bill. And that includes state, federal, and local dollars to education. But yes, you're right. There were some policy pieces in that that some who are non-conservatives did not like. And so they would not vote for it. So we will, I can say that with 100% certainty, we will pass an education finance bill. Now, what will it look like? Will we be able to get some of these good policy pieces into the bill or not? And a part of that, one provision, for example, was we expanded the tax credit program for persons who are in a public school who want to go to a private school. They could receive some tax credits or some scholarship money, which was not taxpayer money. It's not a voucher program, even though maybe that would be a good idea. But we have 18,000 students because of the pandemic, a lot of it's the pandemic, who aren't going to school. They're learning virtually or something. And that was another provision of it. If a student is going to be learning virtually, the funding is different than it is for in-classroom learning. And so that was a provision that if a school allowed a student to have over 240 hours of out-of-classroom or virtual learning, they would be classified as a virtual student. So they would, the school would be funded as that student being a virtual student. And that was something that was in there that non-conservatives didn't like. And we're almost out of time, but there will be an education finance bill passed. I'm confident we're going to fund education. That's a priority for about every legislator. Education is important.
Absolutely. And, sir, I appreciate you coming in here today, talking with us, letting us know your thoughts on that. Again, heading up to Chanute for a listening tour that will end in Coffeyville today. So be sure to head on over there. Again, it's going to be at the Senior Citizen Center in Coffeyville, correct?
At 2:15. And prior to that, I will be in Independence. I know we have a lot of Independence area listeners. At 1 o'clock at the Historical Museum. All right. Which that's on 8th Street. I think everyone knows where that is.
But, all right. Yeah. Well, sir, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it. And we will talk to you again here in a couple of weeks.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Kyle.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will have news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.